Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. My name is Dave Woodard. Hamilton won the Battle of the Cats tonight in convincing fashion, and according to you, one player made all the difference. The Fifth Quarter Podcast starts now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Yes, yes, yes. As you head home from the Peach Festival in Winona, or maybe Rib Fest at Gage Park, heading to End Zone or the Wingporium for post-game happy beers, this is the Fifth Quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. I'm your guest host tonight, Dave Woodard. Rick is off. A huge win tonight for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, beating the BC Lions in Vancouver 30-13, which means, of course, first and foremost,
we love those Cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. We'll crouch and snarl and bite and growl and win with all our might. We love those Cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. For a whiskey, wee wee, and a ski, wawa, and on to victory.
Yes, thank you to Robert for that rousing rendition of the Ticat fight song that we play after every win here on 900 CHML. I had to find it and blow the dust off of our copy of that after losses in three of their last four games, but never mind that. Tonight, wow. Just wow. Is this the team that Coach O envisioned at the beginning of the season? James Butler played phenomenally. 118 yards on 21 carries. He had two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving. A lot of attention has been paid to the offense since Scott Milanovich took over as the offensive coordinator, obviously. But the defense was incredibly good tonight. Now, it's not a terrible offense that they played. Vernon Adams put up over 450 yards last week against Saskatchewan. Tonight, he still played fairly well, threw over 300 yards, but he was limited in terms of how much damage they did. Jameer Thurman, of course, for the defense, had an interception and a fumble recovery. He also made six tackles on the game, and while Butler will get the headlines for the offense, let's not forget about Taylor Powell, who played another great game. He was 18 of 23 for 222 yards and a touchdown. Or maybe you want to focus on Tim White, who also had a very solid game. He had five catches for 67 yards. He also returned a kickoff for a touchdown. But let's not wait any longer, shall we? Let's open up the phone lines. You can call or text me at 905-645-3221. You can email me at dave@900chml.com, or you can message me on Twitter at Dave Woodard News. Now let's go to our first. We've had lots of people already calling. Colton, you're up first on the Fifth Quarter.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing really well, Colton. Yourself?
Oh, awesome now. Awesome. Like, that was a great way to spend a Saturday night watching that game.
Agreed,
that
agreed.
Awesome to watch. Is that the same team? I don't know if that's the same team that we've seen all year.
It's certainly, yeah, you know what, Colton? I don't know. It was one of those games where I think a lot of the things that Orlando Steinauer had been telling us all year about his team that we couldn't believe, that showed up tonight.
Watching James Butler run, that was great. Like, having that ability to just kill the clock all game was awesome to see that. That was so comforting to know that if he gets the ball, he's easily going to get 4 or 5 yards at least. But he was getting, 15, 20-yard runs sometimes. It was awesome.
Absolutely.
To be able to see that, it made life so much easier for the guys. And you could just tell that they had so much confidence because they knew that they had that run game to back them up. So that was great. And I'm sure he loved it, too. Going back to the team that didn't want to sign him, and then he scores all those touchdowns. But yeah, I'm just happy all around. It was just a great game. If we can carry that into next week, then I think we're looking pretty good. And I think that Chad Kelly's due for a couple sacks, so hopefully we can give it to him next week.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Do you think maybe that this was a bit of a revenge game for James Butler? Do you think he kind of was like, all right, you know, you didn't want me, so now I'm going to put up a big game against you?
1,000%. You could see it every time he got up after, if he got away with a big run. He got up and he was so, he's always pumped up and he's ready to go. And he's he laid there for a second, and then he'd jump right back up and get ready to go. So that was awesome to see. But I'm sure that he had some things to say to his old guys tonight. That's for sure. He had a lot to say.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was able to talk because he did so well. So
absolutely. So your player of the game, Colton?
James Butler. Like I said, he made everything so much easier. And he's going to make my life easier going into work because my boss is an Argos fan.
So I get to you're gonna have a fun week, Colton, let me tell you.
I can't wait.
Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
Take care. 905-645-3221. You can phone that or you can text that number. You can also email me, dave@900chml.com. You can find me on Twitter @DaveWoodardNews. Mark, how are you doing tonight, Mark?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks.
This is a good game. This is, I think, the team that everyone thought that we were going to be from the beginning of the season.
Agreed wholeheartedly. I think, every week, I'd be sitting there and doing news in a post-game news conference that Orlando Steinauer was doing, and I'd hear him talk about how they just have to have faith that this team is going to be great. And I was watching what was happening on the field like everybody else, and I was like, this team's going to be great. Like, maybe you can make some additions, maybe something can happen down the road, maybe James Butler plays a little bit better. Maybe Duke Williams plays a little bit better. But, you're sitting there with your third string quarterback. Can you win like that? And if they win like they did tonight, I think that goes a long way in putting them back into that conversation of maybe not Grey Cup favorites, but certainly a team from the East that can come out and win the Eastern Championship for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Hamilton has starred for a championship, and I've been going to games for 40 plus years, and it would be nothing more. I could die happy if they won the cup at home this year. Who knows what's going to happen, but this is a good start. Powell looked good finally.
Yep.
I was worried about him in the last couple of weeks. He looked timid in there. Tonight he actually played like he knew what he was doing.
Yep.
And I think Scott Milanovic taking over as OC is gonna be a big help.
I think you're right. I think that it's not the first time that Milanovic has had a young quarterback that he has had to try to bring along, right? So I think he knows how this kind of goes. If you look at Taylor Powell, his record at Eastern Michigan when he was there, he was a very good quarterback. And when he went into camp and he played in some of those preseason games, he looked very good and looked like a CFL quarterback, which not all American college players do, right? So I think, they have something to play with there. Obviously it's going to be Bo Levi's job when he comes back. But in the meantime, it's nice to have a guy like Powell. Mark, who's your player
sure.
of the game? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Even one and a half games that Bo Levi played, he didn't look very good
either.
Like the second game when he got hurt at the end of the game, he looked pretty good that game when we beat Ottawa. But I don't know. I just hope that we have the personnel to be a championship team. That's why it's so mind-boggling why we've sucked the whole season. It just... I don't know what else to say about that. But
no.
I'm glad we got a win.
I agree. Mark, who's your player of the game?
My player of the game is going to be James Butler, but honorable mention to Casey Sales. He made a couple of sacks, a couple of knockdowns, a couple of big plays. And if I can make a quick shout out before I let you go.
Yeah.
To my Argo buddy, Pops. Hey, wee! Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good one. I think it's interesting to kind of, think about beyond this week, right? I mean, this is going to be a huge week for Hamilton coming off of a big win. Of course, the Toronto Argos won, was it Thursday night, I think. They held on against Saskatchewan, or was that last night? I can't remember. At any rate, the Argos are a very good team, but they're coming into a place where Hamilton has played very well, not necessarily this year to this point, but have in the past. And I'm a huge believer in the fact that the season does not begin until Labor Day. Like, you cannot say any team is good or bad until the Labor Day Classic happens. And once that, once the calendar turns to September, once things start to get a little bit cooler, that's when you see real teams show up. I'm not saying that, you know, like Hamilton's going to run off, you know, another 8 games in a row or anything like that. They could. But I think that, you know, we'll see what this team is really made out of. Alan in Toronto. So, Alan.
Yeah, hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Ticats, it's just unbelievable. They lose 24-10 at home against the hapless Edmonton team. And on the road, they against the powerful BC Lions, one of the most powerful teams in the league, and they beat them. So it goes to show you, in the CFL, the only thing you can expect is the unexpected.
Absolutely.
There's no certainties. The only certainty is uncertainty. And like Herm Edwards says, that's why they play the games. And,
yes.
They were underdogs. The smart money was on BC today. They were 10.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm one of the so-called experts, along with everybody else. I got cream pie all over my face like everybody else does.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very curious. Third down, BC had a gamble at the Ticats 47-yard line,
yeah.
And they threw an interception. It backfired on them. I'm very curious why they did it, because it was 3rd and 10, and still lots of time to go. There were still 7 minutes to go, and they made a big, big blunder, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree. I think a lot of that had to do with field position. You know, like, I mean, they're at the 47. They're almost at their – if they go, you know, and there's an incomplete pass, it's not as though the Ticats are sitting there, you know, right in scoring range. So I think, you know, you look at it then and say, okay, well, Vernon Adams, even though he threw a pick and he, you know, like he wasn't as good as he was the week before. I think you still have to put the ball into his hands. But I agree with you. I don't know if I would have made the same decision. But I mean, that's why you and I are sitting here and not out there.
And you have to give BC full marks for innovation. You know, I like that fake kick at the end. You know, and Tim White just picked it up and romped down the field. But I've never seen one of those before. I've been watching CFL football for a good 60 years, and that's the first I've ever seen. You know, but to give full marks for them, and it backfired. But you know, they tried anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure that Tim White has never scored an easier touchdown in his life. But Alan, who's your player of the game?
Has to be James Butler, 21 carries for 118 yards. And the Ticats have the second worst rushing offense in the league so far this year. Certainly not tonight. You wouldn't know it by tonight. And honorable mention to the secondary, because they didn't give up the big play tonight. So the whole secondary has to be good. And honorable mention to the trenches, you know, the line of scrimmage. They just completely dominated. A lot of games are won by the line of scrimmage, and it certainly happened tonight. And Leggio was 3 for 3, so there's a lot of players of the game. But I'm going with James Butler, the way he ran roughshod in the first half.
Absolutely agree with you, Alan. Thanks for the call.
Always great to be on the line. Thank you.
Have a great night. Yeah, you know, I think, for the most part, I think James Butler is going to get a lot of the love, and certainly it's deserved. In the first half, he played really, really well. He, you know, scored, you know, a touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and I think it was the second play of the second quarter. Part of the reason why it was scoreless after one quarter was because they'd been running it so successfully. And I think one of the things that James Butler did well, and the reason why the Ticats won, was because as Butler was running the ball, as he was getting first downs, as he was getting forward momentum, it kept Vernon Adams off the field. I'm not saying Adams is the best quarterback in football, but the BC Lions were 7-3 going into tonight's game. They were 4-0 at home. You don't get to beat a team like that by having Vernon Adams on the field continually picking apart your defense. And outside of the you know, garbage time touchdown, they really didn't do a whole lot. They had a couple of opportunities to play very well. They had a couple of opportunities down the field in the third quarter that got snuffed out by an interception, got snuffed out by a fumble that was recovered by Jameer Thurman. It was a very good game all in all, and I think that that's really where people have to look at this game and say, you know what, who is the best player of the game? James Butler, like I said, might get the headlines, but there's a lot of people who showed up today. So phone number, give me a call, 645-3221. You can text that message as well. You can find me through email, dave@900chml.com, or on Twitter at Dave Woodard News, which is where we get messages from FM fan who says, the whole team showed up today, offense, defense, and special teams. It should be Butler, the player of the game, but the whole team, rather, it should be player of the game as the whole team, but my vote goes to James Butler as player of the game. It's unanimous at this point. I got a message from Alan as well. Nobody expected us to win this game. Labor Day is next. Now we go. Anything can happen in the CFL. My player of the game is Butler. And it's just one of those games where I think that, yes, James Butler is going to get all of the credit, and he deserves it. But again, if it wasn't for the offensive line pushing, if it wasn't for Taylor Powell, also, don't forget, if Taylor Powell's not completing passes this game, they're just stacking the box and stopping James Butler. Taylor Powell has to complete passes, and he did very well. He only threw, what, 5 incomplete passes all game. Randy says, hey, Dave, I can't miss the fifth quarter. Even if away in Kingston, Oskiwiwi, a big win, saw part of the game on television. Keep it going. Now 4-6, way to go, Taylor Powell. Thanks from Randy in Oakville. Dave says, a massive win for the Ticats on the road in BC. Is this the turning point of the season? Next week's Labor Day Classic should be interesting if the Ticats can pull out another victory. He doesn't give us a player of the game, but of course it is right now unanimous that it's James Butler. Manny tweets at me and says, Milanovic game plan, 2 thumbs up. Amazing when defenders are not on the field for so long, they make plays. Oskiwiwi, stack the wins now. Butler, player of the game, feed the beast. And Dave also said, what a win. It was definitely a huge win for the Ticats tonight. The Ticats, of course, beating the BC Lions in Vancouver, 30-13. James Butler with 2 touchdowns. We're going to go to break here on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. We'll be back after this.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Tiger Cats can get a first down without a touchdown. James Butler off to the left, gets the pass, dives to the end zone. And it's a touchdown, Tiger Cats. James Butler, his 2nd of the game, and what's he got in store for the choreograph this time?
Yeah, it's a beautiful touchdown, his 2nd touchdown of the game. That was his receiving touchdown in the third quarter. That's put the Tiger Cats up 17-6. And I don't know about you, but gave me a real sense that this could happen. This could be a win for the Tiger Cats in BC. And like I said, not necessarily expected. The BC Lions were 10.5-point favorites, making a lot of people happy in Hamilton tonight, I'm sure. The BC Lions were undefeated at home to this point in the season, 7-3. Yes, they came off a hard loss against Saskatchewan, and Vernon Adams seemed very kind of not upset. He was very determined at the end of that game against Saskatchewan the week before. And I think it was one of those, I remember watching the game thinking, oh good, the Ticats have BC next and they're mad. Oh boy. But the Ticats showed up. They really had their defense in line. They were able to play very well. And as much as people want to make this about the offense, they want to make it about James Butler, who got 2 touchdowns. They want to make it about Taylor Powell, who only had five incompletions. They want to make it about Scott Milanovich, who, you know, as offensive coordinator, really put together a good game plan. This defense is what helped win this game. They didn't score a touchdown until near the end of the fourth quarter. It's a big deal. We're taking your calls here on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. You can call me at 905-645-3221. You can text me at that same number. You can email me, Dave at Dave Woodard New, Dave, oh, nope, Dave at 900CHML.com, on Twitter at Dave Woodard News. There we go. Kyle in Hamilton. How you doing tonight, Kyle?
Perfect. Perfect road win. Absolutely perfect. It's easy to say James Butler, player of the game. I'm going to go with Taylor Powell just so we get that out of the way. And the reason is he never coughed it up. Never at any point. He ate it when he had to. He took some sacks and ate it. He threw it out of bounds when he needed to throw it out of bounds. He didn't put the game on his shoulders. He didn't do too much. He didn't lose the game. He played a perfect road game. The offensive line, amazing. Paved the way all night long for Butler to do anything he wanted. I can't get over how well the offense played. If you're not a Ticat fan, you could say a very boring game. But for any Ticat fan, we're all high-fiving and pulling our shoulders out, high-fiving on this typical, whatever you want to call it, boring road game. Defense played great. This is a BC game. You mentioned it. They were 4-0 at home. Not only that, they averaged 10 points against at home. We put 30 points up against these guys. This was a great game by everyone. Even the extra points, and I know I wasn't the only one being like, oh, Legio's going to miss an extra point here. And he came close at a couple. It didn't. Everything went well. We had a real bad call against us in the first half when it was a clear, absurdly clear fumble. Should have been Cat's ball. Wasn't. Didn't go our way. They shrugged it off. Not only that, BC scores no points on that. They got a huge break, BC, on that. Hamilton, no problem. We're going to take that ball. We're going to march it back the other way. This was a Cats team. Like, this is what we wanted to see. This is what Hamilton fans want. Everything was perfect tonight. Nobody made a humongous play. Nobody was like, I mean, you could argue at the end of the game, Tim White, that's not the guy you want to kick your fake field, you know, your fake kick to. But outside of that, there was no like humongous, oh my goodness, play where we got away with murder. BC, you could argue the other side where it's like, man, they got away with some huge plays where it's like, man, you can't defend it any better than that. No fault to Hamilton. BC just made some great plays. That is an awesome team. And that's not even our best team. And it's not like we were playing a BC team that was injured, that had a bunch of guys out, that was reeling. We played them at home in a game that we were supposed to lose. I can't say enough about how well the Ticats played tonight. I'm so fired up. I can't wait until Labor Day. And I just can't believe that this is the feeling that I have. This is the feeling that I haven't had all year long. I'll let you go here. Oski wee wee. Awesome. Let's go. Labor Day. Can't wait to call back with a win on Labor Day.
Great, Kyle. Great call. Thank you so much for that. I can't say it any better than he did. It was, you know, it was a bit of a boring game there, and not in a bad way. It was one of those things that the defense played stout. They played well. They didn't make stupid penalties. They didn't, the offense didn't turn over the ball. It wasn't like Taylor Powell threw for 300 plus yards. He threw for 222 yards, but he was the perfect game manager for this game. Because all you had to do was keep feeding James Butler the ball. 118 yards, 21 carries. It was a game that when you look at it from a statistical point of view, Vernon Adams threw way more than what Taylor Powell did. But he also had more mistakes. There were more incompletions. It was a good, boring game for the Ticats. You don't like saying that because it's the CFL, it's exciting football. You know, you want to see the games where you're throwing 455 yards. But at the same time, if you're on the road against a very good team in British Columbia, you want to make sure that you get the win and you do everything you possibly can to get that win. Perfect call, Kyle. Thank you for that. Terry, how are you doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Terry.
I really like the comments on the previous caller. He made some really good points.
Right.
And I just want to say that all three phases tonight was outstanding. And, you know, they didn't take penalties. I know a lot of the callers were saying Butler played a great game, which he did. Taylor Powell played well. And I'd like to say that I would pick Scott Milanovic as the player of the game because his offensive play calling was outstanding. He kept them off balance. They didn't know what was going to happen either way. They got Butler out of the backfield. They run him into the line. The receivers hung on to the ball. Without Scott Milanovic as the OC, I don't think we would have won this game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's, sorry, go ahead.
My other point is, where is our other field goal kicker, Seth Small?
Yeah, it's I don't know. He was on the I can't remember. There's a name of the list, and I'll have to look that up for you, Terry. But it was one of those things that he hasn't been here since the beginning of the year. I don't know if there's something going on or if there's an injury. I'm not really sure. I don't think he's injured, but I'll look that up for you because, yeah, he was a great kicker last season I'm pretty sure he was kicking in the pregame. At any rate, yeah, like he's very good and certainly probably would start over Leggio if it was an option.
Yeah, he was very consistent. Leggio, he did okay tonight, but, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in him. And he was close to the post a couple of times tonight on field goals. So,
yeah.
But anyway, kudos to the team. I couldn't believe. I never would have dreamed in a million years they were going to beat BC and BC. Not the way they played all year.
Yeah.
Until they made that change up top, and that was the difference in tonight, the play calling. And hopefully they continue against the Argos. That's going to be a big test on Labor Day, but let's hope.
Yes, absolutely. Terry, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a great night. You know, it's interesting. I don't think – I know a lot of people will sit here and say, well, Tommy Condell was not very original. He wasn't – he was very predictable. And so the big difference is Scott Milanovic, who brings in a different tweak to the offense. And I think it's true that Milanovic brings in something new. But I think it's not as clear as day. I think Tommy Condell sometimes did things that you didn't expect, whether it's, you know, last year you had, I remember there was a game where they had Dane Evans and Matthew Schiltz out on the field at the same time. You had players, you know, in different positions where you wouldn't necessarily expect them to be. Even a few weeks ago, you had someone like a Tyreek McAllister lining up as, you know, a wideout, you know, getting a hitch pass and running for 60 yards because that way you're taking advantage of that. I think Tommy Condell had some great ideas. I think where Scott Milanovic is better as a offensive coordinator is that he does better with the small changes, right? Instead of always running the ball in a certain way, he's running it a different way. It's not the big, huge difference maker plays that he's calling. It's just giving it a little bit of a change so that it's a little bit better and a little bit more consistent down the road. But then you look at how things go, right, in terms of actual, you know, rushing numbers. James Butler ran for 100 yards two straight games now. He wasn't running the ball for 100 yards earlier in the season. Now, whether that's, you know, a Butler, you know, getting his wheels going, whether that's him getting into the game, whether that's, you know, him getting the ball more often. Maybe it's more of a function than the fact that they've got Taylor Powell as quarterback. They've got somebody who's a third-string quarterback that they don't necessarily want to put it on his shoulder. It's a very strong shoulder, very good shoulder, but he's still a rookie. You know, all of these kinds of things, Scott Milanovich knows how to massage that the way that maybe Tommy Condell didn't. And that's where why we are where we are. 905-645-3221. You can email me, Dave, at 900CHML. You can also find me on Twitter at Dave Woodard News. Corey, how you doing tonight, Corey?
Hey, Dave.
So what's your thoughts of the game?
Hey, man, we won.
Yes.
On the road, we're keeping ourselves out of that crossover position. Calgary lost last night. Helps us. Edmonton's still behind us. Okay. And I know we lost Edmonton last week. So this win kind of takes out that loss. And I'd hate to look at it this way, but we're still in a playoff spot.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be hosting anything at this point, but other than the Grey Cup. But I mean, you're right. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you have to look on the bright side at this point.
And a win's a win.
A win is a win, especially in this kind of an environment, right? Like, I don't know about you, Corey, but when I was getting ready for the game tonight, I sometimes try to mentally prepare myself for what the outcome could be. And when I was mentally preparing, I mean, I'm a big Ticat fan. I love the Cats. I will cheer for them. But mentally, I was preparing for a loss, right? You're going into Vancouver against a team that is 7-3 and second in the West. Who's beaten Winnipeg?
I'm going to take it a step further where you're talking about being prepared for a loss.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if I'm on FanDuel tonight, right, and I look at Sartor and Kemp starting at the tackles, again, Figueroa and Van Zell are out, but yeah. like they're not going to do nothing different. And we're talking about the BC defensive pressure.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at FanDuel for the over-under on sacks against Hamilton tonight. Like how many were they going to get? Do they get 8? Do they get 9? Do they get 10? Like, how much money can I make tonight with them sacking the quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, that's worse. You're right, Corey. That
I was prepared for this. I've been prepared for that for the last 5 years. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the thing is that BC, yeah, they're a very good defensive club. What I look at when I looked at the BC Lions before was their offense, right? Like, yes, I mean, Vernon Adams is the headliner, but you have to look at, you know, the entire team, right? You've got Mizell, who normally has a pretty good, he runs very well. He only had 50 yards today. He didn't do great. Alexander Hollins, he had a subpar game. He had, you know, 4 receptions on the game. And Keon Hatcher, who I thought was maybe the second or third receiver on that team, he led the team in receptions. And Lucky Whitehead. What happened to Lucky Whitehead? He used to be one of the best players in the league, and now he's, you know.
Made him disappear.
Yeah, they did. They really did. So I think, you know, the defense really keyed up on that offense quite a bit today.
When it comes down to it, when you mention those guys like Vernon Adams, okay, they, mm-hmm. they lost Nathan Rourke, okay, so they had to go with Vernon Adams.
Yeah.
Okay, they moved away from James Butler for whatever reason, whether it be money or this or that. He's been a great player for us, and they went to Vernon Adams and Mizzo. And I'd hate to say Vernon Adams. He's been like Kevin Glenn 2.0, shopped around the league.
Yes.
He has shown flashes of brilliance. Don't get me wrong. He was here. He was in Montreal. He was in Saskatchewan. He was all across the league. And he's looked good. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But when you have a guy that's been shopped around, there's a reason for that. Okay. There's a read on him where sometimes you can shut him down. And we did that tonight. Okay, so when you can't rely on their running game, when they don't have a premier back like we have theirs now, there was nothing there for them. We shut that down. We forced a couple turnovers. We got a couple special teams play that played in our favor. We put together the three phases of the game tonight that we haven't been able to do all season.
Absolutely.
We played better on the road than we have played the entire year.
Yep. I wholeheartedly agree. I think, Corey, when I look at the game today, one of the callers said it earlier, it was a boring game. And when you're on the road, you almost have to play that boring style of football to get out with a win. You don't want it to be, you know, throwing touchdowns back and forth. You know, like, you don't want it to be the old, you know, Flutie versus Dunnigan games, right? Like, you don't want that kind of a game when you're on the road. You want to keep it quiet. You want to keep Vernon Adams on the sideline. You need a guy like Butler to sit there and run and take time off the clock. So the longer Vernon Adams is on the sideline, the more the less chance he can burn you.
Exactly. To say it was a boring game to me, have we let James Butler touch the ball 20 times this year?
Oh, you know what? That's a good thing. You know what? During the break, I might check.
Other than tonight, because I know when we let him touch the ball 10 to 15 times, we've been predominantly successful.
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's been games this year where it's like, oh, he touched the ball 4 times or 5 times. It's like, oh, we lost by 25 points. We weren't ever out of those games. Let's even say a couple weeks ago against Montreal, we were down whatever it was, 21-9 in the third quarter. We never ran the ball again.
No, you're right.
And I hate to say it, like if you have these playmakers and a third string quarterback, if you put the ball in the hands of the playmakers and take some of the pressure off your third string quarterback, I'm just a guy on his couch. But that seems to me like basic football.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, Corey, this is not the first time we've talked about, you know, running the ball in the CFL, right? I mean, this is not the first time that we've seen a Ticat team, you know, whether it be, I don't know, going back to CJ Gable or Don Jackson or somebody else, right, where you're watching them, you know, do well with the ball, or Earlington, right? I mean, Thomas Earlington last year had a number of great games, but then they go away from it. And
if you have an injured O-line,
mm-hmm.
the best way to hide them, like I said, Sartor and Kemp,
yep.
Figueroa and Van Zyl aren't playing, the best way to hide them is to let them lean off the ball and run it.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be once or twice. It has to be 20 times.
Absolutely. Corey, thanks for the call. Who's your player of the game again?
Kyle Wilson.
Kyle Wilson,
number 15. I don't know what his injury status was, but when you look at that guy play, and it has to be special teams. It was early in the game. He set the tone, not Simone, not Chris Edwards, not Jameer Thurman. He set the tone on that 3rd and 1 in the first quarter. He held them back, and we got the ball and went down and scored.
Yeah, great call. Great call. Thank you very much, Corey. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
You have a great night.
You too.
905-645-3221 to get into the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can get a hold of me through email at dave@900chml.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Dave Woodard News. We do have a text message from Frank in Hamilton. He says, am I dreaming? What a difference in all phases of the game. Timely execution on both sides of the ball and efficient use of the clock on offense. We suffocated the Lions tonight. And if we play like that every game and continue to get healthy, maybe this season isn't a write-off just yet. Player of the game is Butler. Cheers. Cheers to you, Frank. Again, give us a call here on the fifth quarter, 905-645-3221. It's your last chance to do so. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
It's 3rd and 10 from the Hamilton 47. Adams is back to pass. It's picked off. Jameer Thurman, he has it to midfield, down to the BC 45. Jameer Thurman and this Tiger Cats defense does it again.
A big game by linebacker Jameer Thurman. That was his interception in the fourth quarter of the football game. That's the Hamilton Tiger Cats won tonight, 30-13 against the BC Lions. I'm sorry if I sounded a little surprised. I'm not surprised the Ticats won. It's just they were against the BC Lions in Vancouver, who haven't been beaten this year until tonight. Ticats winning 30-13. You're listening to the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. I'm Dave Woodard, your guest host tonight. Rick Zamperin is off. He will be back for the Labor Day Classic, of course. That is coming up on, next Monday. And to be honest, one of the other reasons I guess I'm a little bit surprised is that the Labor Day Classic is always one that the players look forward to. And I was a little concerned, maybe just a tad, that they may not be looking at this game as closely. They're waiting for the next week. I'm a huge believer that the season doesn't begin until Labor Day. That's when the real football gets played. But let me tell you, it was nice to be on this side of a win against the BC Lions. Jameer Thurman, like I was saying, had an interception in the fourth quarter. He also had a fumble recovery in the third quarter, and he had six tackles. The defense was very good tonight. They didn't necessarily get a ton of sacks. They had two sacks on the day, one by Casey Sales, the other one by Simone Lawrence. But it was just they were a very efficient defense. And again, part of that has to do with James Butler on the other side having so many carries, taking up so much time in the game, that the BC Lions, as much as they would have liked to, they didn't get as much on the field. Again, James Butler, 118 yards. By and away, for most of you, the player of the game. Through email, I'm getting an email from Alan in St. Catharines. He says, I thought Powell looked composed and calm tonight. The offensive line gave Butler room to run. The defensive line and seeing rock solid Dylan Wynn, Casey Sales, and Ted Laurent stopping BC second in inches and third in inches showed the strength of our defense. We persevered and played 60 minutes tonight. A lot of times we get to the fourth quarter and blow it. Don't I know it? We didn't let up, and it was a great team effort. I feel if we can motivate the team next week against Toronto in a sold-out Tim Hortons Field and we persevere and play strong against them, I think we can knock them off their feet on Labor Day. It'll show the other CFL teams that Hamilton might be the real deal in the second half. I always said that if this team starts gelling, we could start causing problems over the next 9 games. Let's stay on track and keep the momentum. Cats' 110th Grey Cup is in our sights still. Go Cats, go. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. And that is one of the things that I think is on a lot of players' minds. And I think at the beginning of the season, a lot of players may have felt a little overwhelmed at the idea that people want to see the Ticats in the Grey Cup at home again, and hopefully a different outcome than last time. Of course, last time they lost against Winnipeg in Hamilton. I didn't need to remind you, but I did anyhow. It's one of those things that I think for some people, they worry, some players, they worry about what the expectations are as opposed to just getting down and playing football. And I think that's one of the huge benefits of having a coach like Scott Milanovic in the offensive coordinator, having a coach like Orlando Steinauer, you know, keeping the blinders on and saying, we can't play in the Grey Cup if we don't make the playoffs. So getting to big wins, not only, you know, at home, but, you know, on the road, getting to play those teams. And you can't make excuses. Like, yes, Hamilton doesn't have their starting quarterback in Bo Levi Mitchell. He's out. They don't even have their second string quarterback in Matthew Schiltz. He's out. So you've got a third string quarterback. It doesn't matter. You still need to win games. James Butler, at the beginning of the season, wasn't necessarily as efficient as he is now. He still has to run the ball. Right? So I think that there are these things that, you know, you look at the beginning of the season and you say, okay, it'd be great if we made the Grey Cup in Hamilton this year. But you still have to win the games. You still have to get to that point. And when you're sitting in third place in the Eastern Division, and it's not a guarantee that you're going to get in the playoffs, you need to start winning games. I think last week against Edmonton perhaps was a bit of a wake-up call. You need to know that you need to start winning games. And I think that's a huge deal for this team. William sent out, Bill actually from Burlington sent me an email, Dave at 900CHML.com. He said, this was a completely different team than the one that played against the Elks last week. You're not kidding. Kudos to the coaches for getting this team to bounce back from last week's embarrassing loss. All phases of the team played well. They seemed to play with confidence from start to finish. Powell played his best game so far, looked like a veteran with his play. Butler was amazing, will be a league all-star of the week, and he, for that, gets my player of the game vote. I couldn't disagree with you. You just look at the numbers. You look at the numbers from tonight's game. James Butler, 21 carries, 118 yards, one rushing touchdown, one receiving touchdown, caught three passes for 36 yards. When you're catching balls out of the backfield and doing damage, that also helps your quarterback too, because he can go back and he knows that there's somebody that's going to catch a pass that's going to get positive yardage, no matter where he throws it to. Tim White also had a great game for the offense. He had five receptions, 57 yards. Keandre Smith, I was really impressed with that young man, how he played. Mostly in the first half, he had a couple of very important first down conversions. But we haven't really seen that from him in any kind of consistency to this point in the season. I thought he played a very good game. Duke Williams had three catches. Terry Godwin had a couple of catches as well. Tyreek McAllister, I thought, had a bit of a quiet game, but still pretty effective. I thought that a lot of people are starting to kind of note what's going on with Tyreek McAllister, and they're keying up on him, and rightly so. It was a very good game by the entire offense, the entire defense. I don't think that you can say anything bad about any one player throughout this game. And if they start playing like this all the time, I think you're going to see a lot more wins. One more email before we go to break from Mark. Good evening, Dave. Please see that Rick gets some additional vacation, as this seems to be a good omen for the Ticats. It is, isn't it? It's the second win. It's the second win that I've been doing the fifth quarter. I'll let Rick know. He says, I was impressed with the total team effort this evening, although I still think the offensive line needs some upgrades, particularly in the two tackles. I would like to see Brandon Revenberg move to left tackle and move one of the younger offensive linemen to left guard. I'm also taking some credit for the victory as I discuss the team's chances with a friend before every game. This is the first time I wrote them off this season and said they had no chance of winning. So a Ticat victory was a virtual certainty. Mark, thank you very much for that. And thank you for the vote of confidence for coming on again. Just one more chance for you to get your call in. Ross and Brian are on the line. We'll take a break. You're listening to the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford.
The most entertaining, unfiltered, and passionate post-game show in Canada. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Lindtoff, who kicks the ball, and Tim White has it, and he's down to the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10. It's a touchdown! Tim White on the onside attempt by the Lions, and Tim White puts this game almost out of reach. There's still a lot of time.
The cherry on the top of the sundae, that is a Tiger Cat win 30-13 over the BC Lions in Vancouver. That was the result of tonight's game. Huge game for the Ticats, a huge game for James Butler, a huge game for Ticat fans everywhere. You're listening to the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Last chance to get your call in. You can call me 905-645-3221. You can text that number as well. You can email me, Dave at 900CHML.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Dave Woodard News. Ross, you are on the line. How are you doing tonight, Ross?
I'm thank you, and a great effort by yourself filling in.
Thank you.
And a brush of fresh air, it seemed, tonight. A lot of efforts, great efforts by many players. And, of course, we get frustrated so many times. We move a few yards, and then next thing you know, there are some drop balls or stupid penalties. That didn't seem to be that way tonight, which was a plus. And also, I know that Powell seemed to be throwing pretty well tonight as well. And the receivers, as I say, were hanging on to the ball. And so that made a difference as well. I know he doesn't attempt to throw many long bombs, but, you know, we do the receivers there, you know, McAllister and White. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, you know, I think that with when you've got your third string quarterback in, it's not that I feel that he can't complete those passes. It is not that I feel that you shouldn't necessarily be trying to stretch out the field. I think when you've got a game plan that's working in James Butler running the ball, I don't think you need to stretch out the field unless you need to. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that you had to stretch out the field in order to open up the running game. No matter how many people they threw at the line of scrimmage, James Butler seemed to be getting yards. He would be getting hit at the line of scrimmage and then somehow, you know, make a 6-yard gain out of it. So
that's right.
I think
that was right. That was great. It was ball. And I'm hopeful that they'll, you know, I mean, we don't know when Schiltz or Mitchell will be back. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking, well, what's going to happen if they do come back? And here, you know, I think the players have been getting some confidence in Powell. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that it's still Bo Levi's job to lose. I thought that at the beginning of the season. I still think that now. I think there's a couple of reasons for it. One, the contract, I think, is a big deal. You don't pay somebody that much money to sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that when Mitchell is healthy, even in the last couple of seasons when he was injured a lot, he was still one of the best quarterbacks in the CFL. And I still feel that way about Bo Levi Mitchell. Now, if you can get a healthy Mitchell and a healthy Butler playing on the same kind of wavelength, I think that you're going to have a very good offense. And I think possibly Mitchell has a little bit more to offer in terms of experience. It's not as though, you know, players are sitting there going, well, I'm losing faith in Bo Levi. It's just that he can't play right now. Right. So I think that they're getting the confidence in Powell is great, especially during this time period. But I don't think that he is the answer to, you know, this team going far in the playoffs.
Right. Had you had time to find out about the other field goal kicker?
Yeah, you know what? I still haven't found anything about that, but I'm going to continue trying. Hopefully we'll get something on that. Cause yeah, I mean, I understand a lot of the, especially last week after what Leggio did, or I should say didn't do. And even this week when you were watching the 25 yard converts, you know, just kind of sneaking them in, it was just, it felt a little, a little kind of off, right? You're like, we need something who's a little bit more consistent.
That's right.
But I, you know what? I mean, he gets them. So I guess they don't ask you how you score them. They ask you if you did.
That's right.
Well,
and so my player of the game is Butler, and I hope that continues for our Labor Day contest.
I hear you there, Ross. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Yeah, just one of those games where, like, if you got to find one thing wrong, it's like, well, the kicker wasn't kicking them exactly straight. If that's what we're complaining about here, I'll take it every game. Brian, how you doing tonight?
Hey, couldn't better. A win out in BC is never a bad thing.
Right? Agreed.
Yes. A couple of things that just hit me. I don't have a problem with Powell being the quarterback until Bo is absolutely, totally, completely, freakishly healthy again.
Yeah, I hear you, right? I mean, it's like, oh, he's back. Is he, though?
Yeah, I thought I still think we need to run a Bootsy play on that Ottawa linebacker who used to play for us, the guy that broke his leg in the last game.
Oh, yeah, right. Santos Knox?
That guy bent him backwards, and it wasn't because he liked him.
Yeah.
And the one thing. I think Powell's really good, and I'm willing to wait till Bo is, like I said, freakishly good.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that I noticed, you know, anytime there's a really good team, you got coach players all over the field. And tonight I noticed that one of our D-backs, George, was really getting bent out of shape over something the referee called, which I agree with. But who was in there spreading the oil on the waters but Simone Lawrence?
Mm.
And I think when you got guys who are veterans with that capability and that resume, as it were, of excellence, and they can come in and calm these guys down and keep the team going on the straight path, that is a sign of a championship team.
I agree. And I think that's one of the things that so many people were excited about at the beginning of the season. Wasn't necessarily that everybody's got talent in the CFL, right? Every team has talent, but there was no team that I saw that had the amount of experienced leadership that the Ticats had.
Yep.
So I think that you're bang on, Brian. I think that's one of the key things that you have to look at, you know, and maybe, you know, the last nine games of the season, I think that's what, you know, kind of starts coming out, more of that leadership.
No, right? I agree with you. And this team is just starting to show what it's really made of. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of the story.
Yes, absolutely. Starting next week with the...
By the way, Dave, you're doing a great job. I have to say that.
Oh, thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate that. You should listen to my games when I'm on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. I'll set the clock, man. We're ready.
Perfect. Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Usually I get the late night games because, you know, Rick's got the morning show. So that's usually when I'm on, is when he's doing that. So let's do a couple of awards. Let's start with the big play of the game. Yeah, big play of the game for today for me was the second touchdown by James Butler. That was a huge one for me. It was in the third quarter. It gave the perspective that maybe we can hold on and win. It was 17-6 at that point. That, to me, was the big play of the game. The player of the game from tonight. Okay, so you had some names in there. A couple of people said Powell. There's a couple who... Somebody said Kyle Wilson, which I thought was really nice. But, of course, it was overwhelmingly in favor of James Butler. And I can't disagree. 21 carries tonight, 118 yards. He had two touchdowns. One was receiving. He caught three balls for 36 yards. He was an absolute force for the offense, and everything went through him through this game. So I can't disagree with that at all. And the fan of the Knights, that goes to Kyle in Hamilton. He was the one who said it was a boring game, in a good way. I can't disagree. So thank you for everybody for calling in tonight on the fifth quarter for Eastgate Ford. Thank you, Tom McKay, our technical producer who kept everything on the rails. This is the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. We'll see you on Labor Day Monday when the Tiger Cats take on the Toronto Argos here at Tim Hortons Field. See you then.
where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate 4 on 900 CHML.
The Fifth Quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.